Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldtoblack.com, live in his office at home, following Purdue's 61-60 loss at Maryland. I'm once again indoors because I don't want to be outdoors looking like I'm breaking into my own car and then have an incident on my hands here because I'm recording a podcast outside. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, once again following Purdue's loss at Maryland. It's brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So we'll dive right into it here. 61-60, Maryland wins. This is kind of the Big Ten this year, everybody. Just a lot of really close games between teams that aren't necessarily any better than the other or any worse than the other. A lot of very evenly matched teams in the league here. And when you go on the road and play, or you go anywhere and play, chances are things are going to come down to a very, very fine line that'll make the difference between winning and losing. And Purdue learned that. Purdue learned the wrong end of that tonight, just like they learned the right end of that on Christmas Day when they beat Maryland because Maryland missed too many free throws. So that's kind of the nature of the Big Ten this year. You know, you win some, you lose some here. Purdue, you know, stole wins basically on the last possessions at Michigan State and Ohio State. This one comes down to the last possession. Things even out a little bit. Purdue was up 7 with 3:44 to go. You know, the proverbial game of runs takes hold. Maryland closes on a 6-0 run after Purdue had that 9-1 run. And, you know, that's kind of the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, to use a entertaining figure of speech, I guess I should say. Disappointing loss for Purdue, obviously. But, you know, in the big picture of things, you know, again, you have gotten some really, really big wins to go your way in situations like this. How sustainable that was, you know, all season long, I don't know. You know, Purdue was either the most gifted situational team in college basketball there for a while or the luckiest, I don't know. But those Michigan State and Ohio State outcomes kind of defied, you know, probabilities in some ways. Purdue coming back from, you know, 15 down at half at Michigan State, Purdue coming back from 6 down at Ohio State, however much time was on the clock, very similar to the way this game just unfolded in Maryland's favor. But what this came down to, you know, more than anything was, A, Purdue turned the ball over too much, which is their season-long Achilles heel, so to speak, that still is not completely out of their system. You know, they had 11 of them in the first half. They fix it at halftime, but those 11 possessions really would have made a difference at the end. Not sure why, you know, it's always a first half issue, but then they can fix it in the second half. Why you can't just fix it for the first half, I don't know. This is a young team. You do have to live with some of those inconsistencies sometimes. But the other part of it was that, you know, Purdue defensively, you know, simply the matchup dynamic of this was pretty, you know, starkly contrasted here, where Purdue plays big and Purdue needed to dominate on the front line with Travion Williams and Zach Edey. Maryland plays really small and was going to have to be able to spread Purdue out, drive to the basket, shoot threes over its size, put its size in ball screens, things like that. And both of them won in that sense because Travion Williams dominated. Zach Edey had a nice little run there. But Maryland also won this game with small ball. You know, at the end, it was basically just Maryland putting Purdue in ball screens and making plays. And I think that was Maryland making plays more than it was Purdue breaking down. But it was very similar to the Michigan game in Ann Arbor last year, where it was just ball screen, ball screen, ball screen. And Purdue's size was put in tough situations. Texas and Mackey Arena last year was a little bit of the same way. It is just very difficult for Purdue when you're as big as Purdue is, you know, to guard those ball screens the way you need to guard them, especially in high leverage moments. But I think it's very important to note, I thought Travion Williams did a great job guarding that last drive by Eric Ayala. I don't know what more you could have asked for from him. Unfortunately for Purdue, you know, it takes one of the elite rebounders in college basketball away from the basket because he's guarding, and the action created a little vacuum under the basket that allowed Eric Ayala to follow his own miss, draw the foul, and ultimately win the game at the foul line. Maryland lost the game to Purdue last time because it missed free throws in the final minute. They won tonight because they made free throws in the final minute. That's the margin of error in the Big Ten that, you know, I'm kind of talking about here, that these games are so evenly matched and so close and so physical and all that stuff. It just comes down to little stuff. It comes down to who makes the right play at the right time, whoever does that is probably going to win. Whoever doesn't do that is probably going to lose. And there's just so little separation between like 2 and 11 in the Big Ten, to be honest with you. And, you know, we're going to find out about one, too, because Michigan, their schedule is really backloaded here. And so we're going to see what they're made of. But I don't think there's a whole lot of separation, you know, right now between like 2 and 11. You can throw Penn State in there, too, because they're a really tough out. Indiana almost beat Illinois today in Bloomington. There's really genuinely, it sounds like a horrible cliche, but there's really genuinely no nights off in this league other than, you know, Nebraska and the way Northwestern is trending. Not that Nebraska plays basketball games anymore, but the way Northwestern's trending, they're starting to, you know, slip into those depths as well. But Purdue, hey, they played three games without Sasha Stefanovic, who's, you know, more important than I think a lot of people would immediately recognize. And Purdue won one of those games. The worst case scenario, obviously, was, you know, going 0-3. They avoided that with the big win over Minnesota. But Purdue got thrown another curveball here, and, you know, you had an opportunity to go 2-1 in those three games. You went 1-2. It's not the end of the world. Purdue's in a great spot here. Purdue's in a really good spot here still. You know, you're a virtual lock at this point for the NCAA tournament, no matter what happened tonight. Nothing's changing about that. Purdue's in a great spot here. You know, I think Jaden Ivey's getting better. I think he's becoming a, you know, an alpha slash star, you know, right in front of your eyes here. The plays he made in the final 7 minutes of this game, I think, were elite level offensive plays. And, you know, obviously Purdue didn't get the buckets it needed at the end, same as it didn't get the stops it needed at the end. But I think Jaden Ivey, you know, along with Trayvon Williams, obviously, who is trending toward getting my first team All Big Ten vote at this point, because I think he's been unbelievable for Purdue this year, everything they've needed him to be. But Jaden Ivey gave Purdue, you know, put Purdue in the position they were in to almost win this game. He is just becoming something really special. He's been something really special, but I think he's starting to, you know, become that in reality and not just theory. So, you know, Purdue's got some things going for it here. Stefanovic comes back. Things are going to get a little more normal again until Purdue gets thrown another curveball, as they undoubtedly will. This season has been a train wreck for Purdue. I mean, an absolute train wreck. Again, we've been through all the personnel stuff. Ethan Morton's mono, Eric Hunter's knee, Jaden Ivey's foot, Sasha Stefanovic's COVID-19. Always have to mention Emmanuel Duona in here too. Hasn't played this year, hasn't hardly practiced this year. That he probably wouldn't be playing for Purdue, but I have to mention it too for the sake of accuracy. You know, Purdue's trip out to Maryland, perhaps you've heard that they had to trigger emergency protocol on the plane because there were very real moments where they were afraid their plane was going to crash. And, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. And I think when you look at Purdue losing this game by one at the end, it's, you know, Purdue is not just lucky to have gotten there, but Purdue is lucky. It's kind of remarkable that Purdue was able to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, let alone almost win a basketball game. You have to give those kids a lot of credit, you know, for shaking off what had to have been an extremely traumatic experience for them, and, you know, being able to compete and being able to focus and all of that stuff. I probably would have stayed in the hotel rolled up in the fetal position and probably not gotten on the plane to go home, or on the second plane they had to take to get out to Maryland yesterday and arrived in town 5 hours late. But, you know, I think just the most important point to make about this game is that this is the Big Ten this year. This is just simply a total, whatever those old wrestling matches were where they put everyone in the ring at once and whoever doesn't get thrown out of the ring is the winner. What do they call those? Battle Royal? Yeah, I think a Battle Royal. That's what the Big Ten is this year. And you're gonna lose games that look on paper like games you should win. You look at Maryland having not won a Big Ten home game prior to tonight. That's meaningless because of who they played. You judge these teams by their best, not their worst. You look at Maryland as the team that won at Wisconsin, that won at Illinois, that won at Minnesota, not the team that hadn't won a Big Ten home game yet, because all the teams they lost to were really good. You didn't look at Minnesota like the team that hadn't won a Big Ten road game yet, because you have to look at it for who they beat at home, not who they lost to on the road. Because, again, all really good teams, they beat Michigan, they beat Iowa, they are good enough. It's just the Big Ten is not a paper league. You cannot look at it and say, okay, this team lost to this team, or this team has lost this many in a row, or here's what this team has done, and said, okay, that's going to be predictive of this outcome. Every single game is going to be a mud wrestling match, and it's going to come down to a very, very slight margin of error, a very slight margin of difference. And tonight, you know, Purdue was on the wrong side of it. A bunch of times before, they've been on the right side of it, and here's guessing they're going to be on the right side of it again a bunch the rest of the season. Sasha Stefanovic comes back now. The schedule has one ranked team left to play, two more really difficult road games in Penn State and Minnesota, one game against a ranked opponent in Wisconsin. When you look at what Purdue's played before relative to what it'll play from here on out, you get Sasha Stefanovic back. Your freshmen are still getting better. I think that Purdue's in a pretty good position here to close the season strong. No matter what happened tonight in a one-point outcome at Maryland, a team that I don't think you're necessarily significantly better than. I think you're slightly better than them, but I don't know if you're significantly better than them. If you don't agree with me, go back and watch the first Purdue-Maryland game, because that came down to Maryland just missing a couple free throws. So that's what I got from Purdue's 61-60 loss at Maryland. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Once again, this has been brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So we'll talk to you again Saturday after Purdue plays Northwestern, one they really ought to get, obviously. So take care, everybody.